The word today is church. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Wherever God's people get together, that is the church. The book of Acts tells about many characteristics of the New Testament church. Today, we will look at six marks of that early church. Hear from our archives to help us review and compare our own Christian gatherings is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Church.
Today, I want to talk about the church. Now, when I say church, I'm talking about the New Testament church, the kind that is described for us in the Bible. I want to talk about the very early Christian church, and we're going to look at the components, the content of that church. Now, I'm not talking about buildings. I'm talking about a place where God's people meet. It could be a home. It could be a tent. It could be a spot on a parade ground or something. It could be a garage. It could be wherever God's people get together to worship God and to praise Him. Now, the New Testament church, and let's take a look at the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, the entire book of Acts relates to us what the early New Testament church was all about. At least the opening eight chapters of the book of Acts talks all about the church. And in the ninth chapter, we read about Saul's conversion, who later was named Paul. We read about his conversion, and then the last chapters of the book of Acts actually refer to Paul and his ministry. So I'm talking about the original eight chapters of the book of Acts and how it defines the Christian church. Six times in the book of Acts, references to the church are called great, and it describes the things that it's addressing as being great. Now, we're going to take these one at a time and try to explain them in a little bit of detail. This is right after Pentecost. You remember the second chapter of the book of Acts defines the birthday of the church, the day in which the Holy Spirit came. Christ sent the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. You remember the little tongues of fire that appeared on their heads, and there was a miraculous confession of faith on the part of everyone there, as every one of the disciples there, as they proclaimed the message of salvation. And all the foreigners that were visiting in the city were positively amazed at the miraculous way in which they heard the gospel being preached to them. Now this is when the early New Testament church actually began then, so to speak, the organization, the coming together of the group of believers. Now, God came down into the world in His Son, Jesus Christ, and then when He ascended back to heaven, He said, I will send the Holy Spirit upon you. And He told the disciples, you wait for that. Don't think you can go out on your own power and your own strength. You're going to need the power of God with you. God's Holy Spirit will be with you. So then, as they began to review the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the early church began to form. And people at first were confounded. You know, they saw the miracle of Pentecost. Then they were convicted of their sins, and they realized they needed a Savior. This led to their conversion and their repentance, and they began the church. And I think one of the good places to review what that early church was is the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. For one thing, they were in agreement spiritually. Now, that's the primary thing. If you're a member of a congregation or a church or a denomination here, let's say in America or in India or in China, wherever you're hearing my message to you, the Word of God, wherever you're hearing this, it doesn't matter. Now, we are being broadcast in 44 different languages. That's positively fantastic. We're reaching the entire world for Christ. Now, wherever you're at, in a little group of people, in a home somewhere, in a Bible study, maybe you have a little church you're worshiping in, the most important thing is to double check, do you have these important ingredients in your group? First of all, it has the power of God. Now, if you don't have that, you don't really have anything. And the power of God is the Word of God. Now, God wants us all, you know, God doesn't say, I want you to be able to toot your horn. He's not talking about pride here. He's talking about His power by His Holy Spirit. There must be the great power of God, the great Word of God. Without that, you have nothing. So it has to be based on what God says on His Word. Now, the second thing, there has to be grace. And in the book of Acts, it says great grace. That means love and concern for one another. And that has to be shown in our Christian relationship to one another. If you're not praying for each other, and if you're not concerned in helping each other, then you're not the church. Don't call yourself a church if you don't care about anybody. The Christians care about one another, and they pray for one another, and they offer to help. If someone's hungry, they bring food. If someone's sick, they visit and pray for them. If somebody is in distress, they try to counsel, they try to encourage, and they try to seek a way to encourage them to trust in God, to get out of their difficulty. Grace is showing mercy and love, the same love that God has shown to us. It's showing that to each other. Now also it mentions in the book of Acts that there is great fear. Now one of the interesting things in chapter 5 it is, I believe, that Ananias and Sapphira are more or less trying to pull a trick on the preacher, on the apostle who is trying to lead them. And they had a form of finances where they would sell their property and then bring it to the church and divide it among everyone so that no one was poor, so that everyone had a living and everyone was able to provide for their family. Now, they lied about this. And, of course, the judgment of God was upon them. And, first of all, Ananias dropped dead. Then his wife Sapphira, who came to the church, you'll have to read this in the 4th, 5th, 6th chapter of the book of Acts, and how she lied also. She and her husband had prepared to lie so that they could keep some of the money for themselves. You know, it's interesting that already then, in the New Testament church already then, there were money problems, people trying to cheat, people trying to not give God everything that they agreed to give Him, and so they already had troubles. Well, take a look at that. Is that present in your life as believers? You need to weed out the difficulties, and you need to get at the sins involved and bring repentance. Now, the third thing the book of Acts talks about is a great worship. They worshiped God. They put their hearts into it. It wasn't just something technical that they had memorized or something that they mathematically looked into and so on. This was keeping God in central control, putting Him first, worshiping first, giving Him the praise and the glory and the honor. Now, in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 1, it talks about a great persecution. Now, those that follow the Lord know they're going to be persecuted. And that's true. Many of you who are listening to my voice right now have been persecuted because you believe in Jesus Christ. Some of the countries where this program is being listened to have people in prison and in jail merely because they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, the early New Testament church, people were crucified. We have occasions, and history talks about this, where people were torn apart by animals, by lions and so on. And they put on amphitheater shows like this, torturing the Christians. Some were lit on fire. We have records of this, all because of their faith. Let me ask you a question. What have you suffered for your faith? Maybe someone's laughed behind your back. Maybe someone has mocked you. Maybe somebody has ridiculed you. It's very possible that people have poked fun at you because you stand up for Jesus, called you holier than thou, as though you're too proud and so on. Maybe you've suffered a little bit for your faith, and God bless you if you have. That's part of the marks of the early New Testament church. But I don't believe it's reached, at least here in America yet, the physical torture and physical persecution. I know it is true around the world in places where this my voice is being heard, where this program is being heard, where your house has been burned down, where your cottage has been ransacked, where you've been run out of your home and so on. I know there are people in prison. I know that persecution is real. It is true that wherever God's people are, there will be persecution. Satan is not yet dead. Satan is still very active, and he wants to destroy the Christian church. Well, he will not succeed. But be aware that when you're in groups of Christians, there will be tribulation and persecution. Now then, as you go on, you will see in the book of Acts that then the next identification mark is great joy. Great joy. Oh, that's fantastic. We will be filled with the joy of God, not only in our giving, but also in our praying, in our celebration, in our worship, in receiving the Lord's Supper. We will have the armor of God, which will give us great joy. Finally, in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 21, it's kind of a interesting reference, great numbers. God's Holy Spirit will give us numbers. Now, you might go from 2 to 4. You might go from 20 to 40. You might go from 1,000 to 2,000. Who knows how God is going to bless, but God wants people saved. Now, if the football team always stays in a huddle, they don't get much done. As a matter of fact, they get a penalty if you know anything about football. But you got to break, and you got to get busy, and you got to serve the Lord. Now, I hope if your Christian group is anxious to serve the Lord that you will look at these marks of the Christian church in the book of Acts, that you will be prayerful, committed, dedicated to the Lord, worship Him, pray to Him, put Him central in all things, and God will bless you, God will strengthen you, God will encourage you, and He will grow His church.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.